Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are the light of the world, and you've made us that as well, Father. Pray that you would open our hearts and minds to you now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, I hear lots of coughing going on here and there, everywhere through, and we're kind of few in number. I hope it's not all because of illness, but I know some people are out because they're feeling bad too. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for your healing touch, your balm to just come over this gathering, Lord, your healing, Lord, to just pervade everyone here right now and just drive away any of the viral things, the other things that could be coming against us in Jesus' name. And Father, that we may be able to hear you, to hear your word, not only in our minds through our ears, but into our hearts. Thank you, Father, for your healing. Amen. Amen. So, you're all kind of a, you know, just a gloomy group. You know, I got to tell you, that gloomy group. So, we're going to have to wake you up, okay? So, good morning, Vietnam! Wake up, everybody! Yeah! All right. And if you want to, in your Bibles, you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just as kind of your reference, sort of, for the day, or for at least this next few minutes. And that's kind of where I'll be sort of looking. But first, before we kind of dive into the Bible, I want to talk to you about mystery. That's what we're kind of talking about today. And the thing that came to me throughout the week was talking about mystery. Now, you've heard that word throughout your life, the word mystery. And we say, mystery, ooh, that sounds kind of interesting, kind of intriguing, you know? I mean, think of how many mystery stories have ever been written, you know? Murder mysteries, things like that, novels, TV shows, movies, you know, Murder on the Orient Express, all of these things, the mysteries. How much money did Agatha Christie ever make, whoever that was, actually, right? So mystery is kind of an important thing in our life and in our psyche, right? And we think of those things that, you know, can somehow be figured out and unraveled, some sleuth going about trying to figure that out. And, you know, Amanda and I, you, and Kaylee, I think, would admit this too, we all have kind of enjoyed Columbo over the years, I have to say. Daniel never liked it, you know. And it's not because, well, it may be for several reasons, but one is we watched it over and over and over. And he's like, oh, God, another one. But the other thing he didn't like about Columbo was is that you found out who the murderer was in the first 5 minutes. And the rest of it was just how he was going to catch him, you know? And so it's like gone. The mystery for him was gone, you see? And that mystery thing is important to us. Now, mystery shows up in other places as well, too. Not just we're talking about crime, but it shows up in the Bible as well. And you actually heard that word today. And I don't know if you were paying attention, but you heard it. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But, you know, we're talking about things when we think of it in terms of religion, we think of it in terms of religious secrets, you know, religious secrets that are only confided to those who are initiated, right? And not to ordinary mortals, you know. And again, that's what those ancient mystery religions, they called them, were about. You couldn't know the secrets of it until you were initiated into it. But this word mystery shows up in the Bible a few times, and it shows up, you know, directly or indirectly as that in Aramaic in the Old Testament, and the word is raz. So it shows up specifically in the book of Daniel, okay, in Daniel chapter 4. And this is the place where, and not talking about you, okay, no, this is where the Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Nobody can interpret it, and that is the mystery, right? But yet, Daniel is able to by asking God, and God reveals the mystery to him there. And so we see it there in the Old Testament. We also see it in Greek in the New Testament as well. And this word will seem a little strange to you, but it is familiar, actually, and it's mysterion, which is spelled with a Y, so that's where we get mystery from, you see. And so it means hidden things. Okay? And you understand that. That's not surprising. We know that, you know, a mystery is something that's hidden from us and we don't know what it is, right? Well, that's what we're talking about. And we hear this in the New Testament in, as again, and in that Greek, in something that Jesus says. Jesus in Mark chapter 4 says, he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Now, you may be familiar with that because they ask him, why are you speaking in parables? And this is the answer. And he says, the mystery of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. And this is one of those places where Jesus is quoted correctly three different times through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay, all three synoptic gospels have that passage where he talks about the mystery of God. Okay, now if we continue on, Paul uses the word as well too, or the phrase. And in Romans, he uses that and he talks about the mystery revealed, okay, or secrets that have been revealed. All right, he says that in Romans. He says it in Corinthians. He says it in Ephesians. He says it in Colossians. He says it in 2 Thessalonians. It sounds like he said something about it a lot. That's right. That's right. And in this passage today, we heard it in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. He says, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. In fact, if you go through the readings of Paul, he mentions the mystery of the kingdom, the secret revealed, 20 times in his letters. I think it was something that he was trying to get across to the early Christians by bringing it up so many times throughout his letters to the, you know, various churches. Paul thought this mystery was important. In fact, he thought it was key, and it is key. I'll tell you more about that. You know, we hear that word mystery, and it somehow makes us a little bit excited. You know, ooh, a mystery. I want to learn more about this thing. Something unknown that we might be able to make known, right? Now, Amanda and I, this last week, went to Biltmore House, one of your favorite places, David. I know. And David doesn't like it because, you know, it is the ostentatiousness, if that's a word, the arrogance, the over-extravagance of people where the money could have been used for other things. I like to go sometimes just to look at the architecture, just to look at the craftsmanship. You know, I look at that wood paneling, you know, it's oak, and you go, ooh, they can't do that anymore, you know? And that's what I like to go see. And, of course, I'm kind of a fan of antiques, and there's one or two there. I don't know. One or two antiques there. But, you know, I was born and raised in Asheville, and so I have known about the Biltmore House and gone there a number of times throughout my life. And I remember that when I was younger, you know, teen and that kind of time frame, that it, well, a lot of it wasn't open. You know, in fact, I think the earliest memory I have is just the downstairs main parts were the only open things. And you're like, God, I wonder what's upstairs, you know. And, you know, then they started to open a few things upstairs, and I looked at the closed doors, you'd say, you know, the roped off ones, and I said, God, I wonder what's behind there. Because that's what I found, is that I always wanted to go through the closed doors. I wanted to always go under the ropes and go into those other places, you know. Oh, look at that. Yeah, it's just a thing, you know. And I found the same thing when I would go through, like, a tour on a ship. Went through the battleship North Carolina, you know, the battleship Alabama. And they have roped off areas in these dark passages, you know, that go down into the bowels of the ship. That's where I always wanted to go. Because I knew there was something cool happening down there, you know. A little bit scary, but a mystery that could be revealed. You know what I'm talking about? And those closed doors in the Biltmore House represented to me mystery. That was it. There was a mystery discovered, to be discovered behind those doors, and it intrigued me. And I think that we all have something of this innate curiosity within us, a need to explore things that are not known. It's probably the reason that we've ever had explorers in our history, and to make those things known, you know. We like to unravel mysteries. You know? And I think it's a part of us as humans. A friend asked me recently about an acquaintance of theirs who's Buddhist. Okay? And they said that they were a really good person, you know? And, you know, they were almost asking me, well, you know, aren't we, because they're a really good person, aren't we really worshiping the same God? You know? Because they're so good, they must be worshiping the same God that I'm worshiping. And I remembered, you know, it kind of brought to my memory when this person was talking, that I had a friend a number of years ago who was a Baha'i. Baha'i is another faith, you know, that grew out of Christianity. And this guy was one of the most honest, one of the most upright guys I have ever met. Sorry, you know, not excepting y'all. I mean, his teaching, you know, he taught his children wonderfully. They were incredibly well behaved. He was raising them so well. I said, well, what is wrong with him? No, you could find no fault in this guy, okay? And so what was wrong with him? Well, he just didn't know the one true God. That was all. It didn't make him a bad person. It didn't make this person's Buddhist friend a bad person. But we aren't worshiping the same God. You understand? So before Jesus, people worshiped vaguely, okay? Knowing somehow down deep inside their psyche that there was a deity out there to be worshiped, all right? Yet not really knowing him or his character. And so they added their own details. Those got written down, they passed them on to other people. Some people added more details, and this grew the early religions, such as Buddhism, Taoism, the Oriental religions, the Zoroastrians, you know, the Native Americans, the South Americans, the Middle Eastern religions, excepting Islam, which came after Jesus, okay? But then, when Jesus came to earth, the specifics of God were revealed. The mystery was revealed, you see. And in that sentence right there, I've just wrapped up Christmas and Epiphany for you right there. Okay, God's true nature was revealed. When Jesus came to earth, the specifics of God were revealed. The mystery of God was revealed. People could now turn and follow the reality. They could worship him and know him in a new and personal way because he had a character and they could actually approach him as we do. But yet some continued and continue to follow the old ways or to reject that reality and return to the other ways. And of course, you know the reasons for this. Sometimes it's because it's more convenient for their lifestyle or it seems less harsh, or because they got a bad taste of Christianity many times, you know. I mean, let's face it, the Crusades were just not a real effective evangelism tool, okay? But before Jesus came, before that first Christmas, only Israel was allowed into a real relationship with God. But even that wasn't a close relationship, you know. You see, you understand, it wasn't that God chose a people to know him. He chose a man to know him, Abram. Okay? You want to read about that? Go back to Genesis chapter 16. And then he grew a people out of Abram. But even when he grew this nation, he kept them at arm's length by the regulation of the temple. Okay? Temple worship was the way. But then, when Jesus came, God's true identity and character were revealed. And he offered himself to people freely. You see, that innate desire, that innate need that we have to know God and to worship him was placed into each person and is every time someone is born. But without any other specifics to go by, people created their own mythology around their need. You see, and that gives rise to those religions of the world, all right? To follow one of those religions doesn't make someone bad, all right? And there are wonderful people who follow these other religions who do wonderful things or follow no religion at all, as we know. It doesn't make them bad, just incomplete, all right? man originally knew God in the garden and knew him well. Adam and Eve did, right? But then they had to leave. So now, no other humans ever knew God that same way, ever since then. Okay. Now, Adam and Eve did teach their sons, you know, Cain, Abel, Seth, all about God. But even they didn't know God the same way that their parents did. And then humanity started going downhill from there. You know, they came to the time of Noah and their Nephilim walking the earth. And they were starting to mate with the sons of men, which was not a good idea. And so there was a flood. And things started over. And God chose one man to cleanse people through the flood. And then after that, he chose one man to grow a nation, to know him. And then, after that, throughout the rest of the world, people were expanding and growing and populating, but without any knowledge of God or who he was. And this is where they created their own details from their experience, okay? In John chapter 4, even Jesus references this. He talks to the woman at the well, a Samaritan, and he tells her, "You worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know." You see, even the Samaritans weren't getting it right, even though they were just right next to Judah at the time. But they did some, you know, wrong things because of Jeroboam, and I won't go into all of that. But you understand. See, I'm reading to you the whole Bible right here. Isn't this great? No, just kidding. All right. Yeah. But Jesus explains that right there. He did. Okay. There are good people in the world who don't know Jesus. You understand? Okay. The scribes and the Pharisees were holy men. And you heard this today in our gospel reading. You know, they were good, faithful, and devout men. They were the best Israel could come up with at the time. Okay. But he says our righteousness must go beyond that. What must go beyond the law, must go beyond devotion, must go beyond a set of rules. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Everybody was saying, oh my gosh, how can I, what can I do? How can I surpass that? So what is the difference between you and the Pharisees? What is the difference between you and the Buddhists? What is the difference between you and the Baha'is? What is the difference between you and the world? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know you're going to say, well, Jesus, because that's always the right answer. Yes, it is. But so I was trying to trip you up there. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. It's the only thing difference between you and the others outside. And he is the only one who can reveal the mystery that I was talking to you about. Only he can do that. This is why we sing. No ear has seen, no eye has heard, no mind has conceived. Ah, somebody was listening, weren't they? I was trying to do that to see if you were awake. But what does it say? God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Okay? Everyone out there has a curiosity to know the mystery, you know? They want to know about, I know there's a God out there. I know he's out there. I want to know him. And some of them may be closer than others. They may be practicing a religion, you know, and doing good things because of the teachings in that religion. And they're trying to satisfy their curiosity for him that is innate within us. To understand the mystery is what they're trying to do. And Epiphany, we're still in Epiphany, understand. Epiphany is the time when the things about God are revealed and clarified. And we actually know him, his character in Jesus. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there where we were, verse 7, Paul said, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. You understand that, what I'm saying there? The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the chief priests, none of them understood the mystery. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known, they would not have crucified Jesus. And we all know that he had to be. But imagine if they had recognized the mystery. That kind of blows my mind. I can think on that for the rest of my life, I think. You see, people really do want to understand the mystery. People aren't better, we aren't better than others because we know the mystery. We're just saved. That's the only difference between us and others. And as you go out and you talk to people about the mystery, I can't guarantee you that they're going to receive it or to accept it. You know this. It's all between them and God, anyway. But you are called to talk about the mystery. You see, Paul calls these other religions a shadow of the things that were to come. He talks about, I think that was in maybe Romans, but so does the author of Hebrews, and he says, a shadow of good things that were to come. That's that stuff that's not known clearly, the mystery. But sometimes it's hard to give up on the shadows, isn't it? Even when there's light. But what you have to do, and this is, of course, the evangelism sermon, you understand. What Father Bill told you last week, exhorted you, was to see Christ in them and to love them. See, the mystery of God was revealed to all. And that's what Epiphany is about. Okay? People like to unravel mysteries. Okay? We like to open the closed doors and see what's inside. We like to explore the shadows and reveal the secrets. And our job is to talk to the people in shadow and share with them that same mystery. You know the mystery that I'm talking about. That God is a man named Jesus who loves them and died for them and who wants to know them. Amen.